Full house.
You do 30 hands an hour times 7.
Let's go.
That's what
okay.
So $200 and some dollars per table.
So communications, obviously important for the city. We thought we would do a SWOT analysis with this one. Just to kind of warm it up. I saw this on your website. And so I thought I'd just copy it. And
is that what you do, Michael?
The very best.
And then I was being told by the mayor that there wasn't much of a communications department left.
Yep.
So
that's good news.
What I would first start saying is, those are all important things to do, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody agree with that? Okay. And then we need to talk about sort of the context in which all these communications occur. Obviously, anything the city does, you have to have public safety communications when you have emergencies and difficult weather, or all those things. And I saw that, you know, you had your pushing out things during the snow and keeping everybody safe, which is important. Then just general government, city council meetings, how you, you know, you want to talk later about, you know, being able to look at agendas and minutes and for either the really active community member or the casual community member, how do they plug in and learn what's going on.
They're both here.
recreation, you know, what are the opportunities here, what's going on, like the cultural events. I've heard a lot about, you know, the big events, the parade, that's important, and I understand that's an important part of what this function is. And then the other question I had based on our conversations earlier is economic development outreach. You know, what are the things that we need to do to get the word out about what's going on in this community, what's cool about it, not only internally within the people that live in Mill Creek, but also externally, where you might want to invite people to come spend a little time here. Okay? And then how do you get the word out, right? So, you know, you've got your website. You've got. Have you had Twitter? Used Twitter much?
Yep.
Not Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, we have Twitter.
Twitter. And Instagram.
Yeah. We're tweeting and
we
Facebook
just don't
and Instagram.
Oh, neighbors, whatever it is.
Okay.
Next door.
Yeah, next door. That's up here as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Facebook stuff. That's what
and
we face. Maybe
well.
What we do.
Yeah. Some people love next door. Some people loathe next door. Some people love Twitter, some people hate Twitter, some people love Facebook. I'm just starting, you know, I wanted to be the last guy on Facebook.
You lose.
I was.
Yeah.
Mike and I are still off of it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, just report and remember, there's a lot of different ways to communicate. And these days, you know, communication is very diffuse. So how you get there and what you say and how you say it and to whom and all those audiences, you've got to really repeat it to a lot of different audiences because people are getting their news in so many different ways now. Okay. Well, with that in mind, let's do it.
Can I ask a quick question to the group? You bet. Hey, a newsletter up there. I know we were doing the Monday
minute.
Monday minute.
Yeah.
Are we still doing that, or?
No, we discontinued it. We canceled the contract.
Okay. And just no interest, or?
It's just, it was like an internal reporting, and the metrics show that half the employees weren't even reading it. And part of re-engineering and retooling what we do, we just thought we would cancel that out before we started again.
Was that just to employees or employees in the city?
It was primarily employee to employees, I understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what have I done?
Oops.
Oops, that's right. Wow.
I'm not judging you, I'm feeling your pain.
Yeah, I was.
Are you a Microsoft guy? I mean,
pardon?
Apple guy? You an Apple guy?
No. But I hate it. I hate Microsoft too.
Really?
Wow. I run Linux.
They work on non-intuitive. They've got a bunch of folks who work on making things less intuitive over time, and they keep changing stuff.
That's why their service revenue is so high. You have to call for help.
Yeah.
I saw a guy throw a BlackBerry out of his pocket a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
BlackBerry phone is like, who uses that anymore?
Wow.
My daughter's boyfriend is this BlackBerry guy.
They still make them? don't
yeah.
know.
They're trying to enhance them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring
See,
them back.
This is my little phone. This is like almost 10 years old. I love it.
The BlackBerry was a separate device from your phone.
No smart apps.
You had a phone and you had a BlackBerry. Yep.
Hey, you found it again.
Okay.
You got a gold star.
All right, I found it. I'm just saying, the commission's not letting me write in it.
Oh,
so
well.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open a new slide box, capture the strengths, and then we'll come back to this.
Okay.
But you get what you paid for, right?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
There's still a slide.
Pam's looking them up.
I was just thinking if we could avoid...
Yeah.
But I don't.
Okay. What are our strengths in communication?
So it's communications from the city to the world or within the city?
I would say there's probably two parts to that. One is communications. I would say it's a communication function of the city. You know, in other words, primarily externally driven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Focus on that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, understand that our communication people also run our events, or at least they do have, and that's a really big deal in the city for economic development, for promoting the city, for whatever.
Spider and Cleveland staff are far better off now than we were 5 years ago.
Well, at least we have a website, even if it's not fully searchable. Well, you complained 3 years ago.
I think the social media presence is a strength. I mean, I know that's so received by people I hear from.
Yeah.
It's working better than some of the slot away.
Okay. What specifically about that?
It's just... more efficient way. I think more people read their Twitter feed or their Instagram feed or their Facebook feed than they do read the View or the Beacon or any of the what's the other one? The one with all the cats and dogs. That's all
News of Mill Creek.
Pet of the week. Sorry, Rich.
That was Brian Holtzclaw. Juniper.
Brighton.
Oh, Brighton, pardon me. Brighton.
Okay, any other strengths?
I think our events are a strength.
Well,
we have that up
there?
Oh, events
part.
I couldn't see it. Okay, events part of communication function is important. Yeah.
I like, I think communication-wise for follow-through, I think request tracker, as a communication to department heads, city manager, and the appropriate landing spot. I think that's been so far well received and by the public and the staff.
That's true.
And related to that, I think they're pretty good responsiveness. We find out about it. Perfect example, I was on the other side of the mountains on Sunday, and one of my friends, actually Will's neighbors, posted on Facebook about, I can't believe we've got a tent encampment off of 35th.
Oh.
And, you know, I forwarded that to Michael, and within an hour or two, he had the acting chief out there investigating, and so, you know, like that, we're able to, through social media, get a response and get it taken care of.
And we got a really nice thank you.
Oh, did we?
Oh, yeah. You got it, too.
Good. But that was all facilitated by social media.
Good.
So the city's very responsive to it. When we see stuff come in, we're pretty good about forwarding it to Michael, and the staff is really good about.
So responsiveness is what you put up here as a strength.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably true. There's probably other cities who don't pay attention to that stuff. We've been pretty good about getting back to.
Yeah, we are compared to others.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to that, I know the folks, the citizens, are very communicative when it comes to contacting a council member, like just because of what we're just talking about here. You know, hey,
Brian, there's an encampment down here, and then the dominoes start falling and the process starts to work. So that involvement, I guess, is a strength.
Council member involvement?
Yeah.
Current lack of staff and leadership. Well, they don't have anybody really leading it right now.
Our website is not easily searchable. I mean, when people want information, they can't get it. Naomi, if I send this thank you to you, will you forward it to the council? Okay, thank you.
I would love to see, I characterize this as a weakness, I'd love to see video, live video of our council meeting. So we're more open to the public.
A lot of people said that.
I'll put that under the threat.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, because what happens is the council meetings go on and on as people show off for the camera and nobody watches. Yeah.
What makes you think I would do that?
I've heard that that councils can become more combative when they're being videoed.
Well, just change our stop time from 8:30 to 9:30.
I think the camera adds 20 pounds. That might be a problem for me.
That adds an hour.
At least.
So this is kind of specific. We talked earlier about the fact that people can get to council members. A public who wants to get to a council member can click on something and it comes in as a fairly random thing. I can't tell that they also send it to the other six people or just me. We hide our
tracker
when it comes in
under webmaster or something like
yeah.
that, right?
So it's some people's websites are such that you can see my email address is mtodd@citymillcreek.com, and therefore you can take that and put it into a message to multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to send it to Todd and Bond, or I want to send it to Todd and Bond and Caravino, or I want to send it to Mike Todd and somebody else at Community Transit. So the fact that my email address is not out there is difficult for people. And then when I get an email, it comes in from something funny, and people don't really have to identify who they are. Hopefully they sign their real name, but it comes in with, I can't remember what it says when it comes in.
Like webmaster.
Yeah.
Webmaster.
Yeah, it comes
in
with
bizarre. Getting a message to Mike Todd at citymillcreek.com? Is that what you're saying?
It's when they go on and click the
when
form
they,
to
when they fill
contact
out the
you.
Form and hit send and it goes to the council members.
Yep.
You can't
oh, that's
tell
the form.
You
yeah.
can't tell
right.
who all received it, whether they sent it to one, two, or the all seven of us.
Right.
I thought the form was all of us.
I don't know.
I think
know.
It's just like it could be just me. I'm not sure. But I mean, I think the public
yeah.
struggles with using that.
Yeah,
I've heard people say, I can't get your email address. For some other purpose, they struggle with that. And I struggle with not knowing if it went to all of you guys or just me, and so I always take them and forward them to city manager and say, I don't know who else saw this, but would you please respond? That's what I do a lot. So then I feel like I respond to that person and worry about Mark saying something a little bit different or not?
Yes.
And so I never respond, I shouldn't say I never respond to those, but I try not to respond to those other than to say I pass this on to the city manager because I'm flying blind when I get those. So, long explanation, but that's a weakness, I think, for our system.
Are there weaknesses?
Yeah.
I have one. As far as I can tell, no marketing plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No 3-year, 1-year, 5-year plan.
I would say that we first need to have a plan of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
We don't have a plan.
So it's not just a marketing plan that's the problem.
No plan to market.
Actually,
no
Joni had a, when I came here, Joni had a plan, a marketing plan, and it listed off all the events she wanted to build and all the things, many of the things that are done today. But I have not seen one since then. So there was
but
she had like a.
What was it? Our plan.
She had a her goals and objectives.
I'm sure she recorded it.
Yeah. I was. Oh.
Watch careful.
That was
careful.
Vince.
Careful. Whoa. Just don't go too very far.
Yes.
I'm going to say anymore. Okay.
Any other points?
I'd like to see consistent messaging, but would that be a weakness or would that be an opportunity?
Inconsistent messaging?
Yeah, that might, yeah.
That, I think that's more of a weakness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
I have down here no regular posts, regular ongoing posts to the website or social media. Sporadic, yes, but not regular.
Yeah.
Another weakness, we're challenged in getting information.
I got it.
Hold on, he's got to fix that first.
All right, keep going.
Oh, sorry. Not getting information out to the public on a regular basis. Updates on the meetings, announcement of special meetings, things like that. Just, you know, everybody's got so many things on their plate and lack of people. There's a lot of reasons for all these, don't get me wrong.
You know, as much as the events are one of our, I think, an important strength, at least at this point in time, they're one of our weaknesses.
Do they take up staff?
Well, we have a whole schedule coming, and, you know, for instance, the city manager just canceled the farmers market for this year. So we have a lot of work to do. And
not that many Indians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and can I also add to John's thing on a timely basis? On a regular basis and a timely basis, because there's very little attention paid to media deadlines. Mm-hmm. And then things get out late.
Let me explain this one, then maybe you guys can tell me I'm wrong. This is going to get specific. Joni was conducting focus groups, bad name, with various neighborhood organizations.
HOAs.
And I felt like that communication was probably good to keep those groups informed. And staff collectively probably heard some things back. But I don't feel like we as council heard those things back. And sometimes everything that citizens may have said was in line with what we collectively would think was the right policy direction. And so I think there's a danger in listening and hearing as a city representative and then having us do nothing about it. And so I think that open loop nature of that is just dangerous.
Inadequate feedback loop.
Yeah, and a dangerous feedback loop or danger due to the open loop nature of it. And maybe I'm being too particular. Does that make you're looking at me quizzically?
Yeah, tell me more about the danger aspect of it, because I have some thoughts.
So, and I'm going to say some names and I could be totally wrong here. So Joni stands up there in front of XYZ Homeowners Association. The people say, I'm mad as hell about how come the city isn't taking care of this problem right here. We've got a stormwater problem and they ought to do something about it. And Joni goes, yep, noted, thank you for the input. And then nothing happens. Well, the answer is that stormwater problem is your own HOA's problem. It's not our problem. But we have accepted that thing by somebody saying it and then us not going, well, you know, that's not quite right. Things like that, I think it looked like was happening from what little reports I saw. So the open nature was kind of a problem. But I think we also, you got to be careful when you do that. And so, in one way, it was great that Joni was going out and talking to people. Yeah. But on the other hand, she was not the city manager. She was not the council. So people who spoke to her said, oh, great, I don't have to go on a city council and complain about this, where we might have acted differently than a staff-level person did. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, so we're collecting the information, but we were not acting on it, or what we call bird-dogging it. Seen it through to the end.
Yeah, and the answer might have been, that's not a city role, or it's not something we're going to do anything with, or it's not one of our priorities.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to say no,
yeah.
But a maybe, for a maybe turns into the answer somebody wants. If I'm really looking for a yes answer and you say, well, maybe,
yeah.
I walked away and said, he said yes.
Yeah.
And the answer really was, you said maybe because you were afraid to say no, not or didn't feel like you could say no. So I think there was a lot of maybes that happened in those, and those maybes often go the wrong direction.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's a timely example because I think as a result of possibly not having the information, for example, relating to surface water and the responsibilities for that in a private HOA context versus the public responsibility, there were a lot of non-responses that were interpreted, human nature being what it is, as, oh, great, the city's going to take care of it.
That's what I meant, yeah.
And one of the first groups that I met with was the MCCA, and there was an expectation that we were getting ready to maintain a pond that was at one time deep, and now the ducks are walking on it.
Yeah.
And all I said in general, it was a very simple response, was, well, I'll look into it, not so fast.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Washington has a gift-giving prohibition just like New York and Ohio does, and I don't have enough facts.
Yeah.
And I got the impression that they were hearing that pumping of the brakes for the first time.
No, they're trying the new guy on.
Yeah.
They've tried everybody on.
The new guy routine.
The MCCA has been trying to push our responsibility to the city for years, but aside from that, there has been a horrible lack of communication between the cities historically with the HOAs on what they can and cannot do with regard to the stormwater ponds.
Yeah.
I know our HOA is dealing with that now, as staff in the past supposedly told them they can't do anything with it, and their pond got backed up and clogged up enough now that we're spending $150,000 this year to fix it. So it's the same problem that the MCCA is trying to avoid, but I think there's been a lot of misinformation over the years with the homeowners associations of what they're allowed and not allowed to do in the way of maintenance of those detention ponds.
Aren't we going to run into a problem also eventually with enforcing the NPDES permit?
Those issues are coming, and I'll tell you right now, with the interviewing, it's slim pickings for qualified engineers for that position council provided, appropriated for. The permitting, in fact, the enforcement responsibilities for the city are mighty indeed, even with regard to these private areas. So that's coming. And part of the role of this new engineer is going to require them to have the intestinal fortitude to just call them like they see them and not be groomable with regard to what the law requires.
You ready?
Opportunities.
Set up regular communications with citizens. Regular communication plan. Ongoing, regular, consistent communication plan.
I would like to see consistent talking points so that we know the message that we're supposed to, that people know, staff knows the message that we're supposed to be giving out from the city manager. Does that make sense?
It does.
Most companies, so that everyone is being consistent.
But what they've really been telling us is keep your mouth shut, send it to the city manager.
Talking about the personnel matters.
Anything.
Well, but I don't just
we
mean,
get we
I
get
mean,
called all the time.
I mean, in general, about different things.
All
that,
kinds of
that
things.
What the messaging is that the city is hoping to enforce, and what that is.
That's different. If you want us to, you know, talking points of what you'd like us to promote.
Yeah, things like that.
That's different. Yeah.
Things like that.
Regular promotional talking points. Yeah, that's good. I also had enhanced social media, enhanced utilization of social media. There's so much more we could be doing.
Can you give some examples?
Yes, please.
Well, I think when you starting with the Facebook utilization, you know, that is of all the in any of the social media applications, it's always like who's using it, who's using what? Are they using Twitter? Are they using Instagram? In our city, they're using Facebook. Facebook, a lot of people are using it. We've seen enhanced utilization of it in a lot of different applications. If we could go online and do more on Facebook as the city, and tie into some of these other, you know, smaller city entities, like you guys just mentioned one. I was looking at for. What was it, Mill Creek Home or something like that, where you find out, you know, builders and stuff, contractors for your home. That's another one that's built up. There's a lot of different applications of people using Facebook, but somebody who could come on and help us put together a really smart ongoing Facebook campaign. Once it's designed and we're implementing it, it won't cost us anything on a regular basis, but it could really help us to increase the communication only because citizens are looking at it. They're looking at Facebook. Actually, we all have stories. My wife has like 3 or 4 sites that she goes to regularly, and all the people in the city are talking about us and what's going on in the city. And there is a regular communication going out there. So we want to be out there where the people are talking about.
I think that there's also a lot of people that don't use Facebook or social media for public records reasons.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we don't really have a way to communicate with them. We used to have that you'd sign up and want people to send you stuff, but I was on every list and I got deleted. I just think we need to be talking to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally agree. One idea you and I talked about was email,
how do you do that?
A regular email newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
You could send that out to all the citizens, you know, email addresses, promote the fact we have this. If you want to get informed of what's going on in your city, sign up for this newsletter. It's free. There's no ads on it. And all it is us just telling you what happened this month in Mill Creek, what happened at the council meeting, what events are coming up next month as well as this month, and just keeping people extremely well informed. And it's free.
Yeah, they have the option.
They have an option.
Right.
And then you promote it on your Facebook site, too, if you want more information, sign up for our newsletter.
County council members do, where they send out a newsletter.
Yeah, but an email newsletter would be a great one. And also, you were talking about, we have great news. We got 2 local newspapers that need content.
Yeah.
They're dying for content.
Yeah, the local papers here will print.
Three?
Who's
I'm going to get to that one in a minute.
Oh. Yeah. Well, anyway, we have local media outlets who are very dependent on the city for content.
Good.
You know, whereas if you submit something to the Herald, forget it. But you submit it to the little local ones that people actually read. And
95% of the time we get posted.
Yeah, they
almost every time.
And at least to me, it would be valuable for the city to put out the press releases and to be able to frame the message.
Yes.
As opposed to somebody who listens to a recording and goes and just writes something up or looks for catchy things or whatever.
Our events that we're going to be doing this month, an article about them. You know, Party in the Park Aaron Park this month. The other one's interesting is the third one, the News of Mill Creek, the online one. We really need to get a great relationship going with News of Mill Creek because they are one of the first ones out with information. They beat The View, they beat The Beacon.
Well, they're out every Saturday morning.
Yeah, they're just pumping it out right away. So you want to get that, and that's why a lot of people go to them, is they're the first
they
point.
They send out an email, too.
It is, it's blonde.
Yeah,
it's online. It's only online.
Richmond.
That's a really good one to enhance your relationship with and make sure you're staying in contact with him, communication. You know, our marketing department should be reaching out to somebody like Rich every month. Mm-hmm. Hey, you got all the information you need for this month. You know, it's kind of, rather than waiting for Rich to call you, hey, you want to quote it? You want to comment on this? You know, reach out to him. He will help to make sure the information gets out.
He's as desperate as anybody for content.
Desperate for content, and he wants it to be relevant, and he wants it to be timely.
And I got to tell you, at least with regard to Mr. Van Winkle, I've talked to him now since heading up that department temporarily, or not so temporarily, at least maybe once every 10 days.
Perfect.
And he's a wealth of institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
He has saved me literally hours. The most recent example had to do with the bridge and the trail at Heron Park. And he was able to share information with Councilman Todd and me that has put our work there ahead of schedule in terms of being able to report back to council where we're at. So it's a pleasure to talk to. I wish I had more time for all the media outlets. I actually think I could do a good job of it. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is easing back, hopefully, in the finance department with a couple of the candidates we have. And being able to develop those relationships.
You got a lot on your plate. That's trying to do marketing's part.
It's not a plate, that's a platter.
Yeah, the spinning platter.
That's one of those lazy Susans.
Yeah.
Are there other opportunities?
Oh, fix our website?
Yes.
Fix our website.
Search features, and some of the most critical elements are actually quite hidden. The weirdest one is a directory, trying to find somebody's phone number.
Oh, yeah.
You go through all the departments, it's never there.
The search
you have to go down to the directories.
You don't need that.
The search engine will do it. Consumer. Well, yeah, you know, I get comments.
Oh, sorry, I'm quoting somebody, but no one with this.
Do you have all of your meeting minutes and agendas?
Yeah.
And they get posted pretty regularly?
Yeah.
It's gotten much, a lot better.
Yeah, we had a problem with it. It just
they're not very search staffy. They're there.
Yeah.
It's just what we're talking about is the website provider, the timeliness. Snap gets them up there. It's just, if you want to search an old one, it's hard.
And some of us do a lot of research.
So opportunities, I think there's an opportunity for us to be more a source of information to the community about other stuff. And I don't want us to take on more than we can handle. But for instance, Jackson High School has a band concert, a choir concert, a theater production. They have a hard time remembering to put that stuff out broadly enough because it's kids and PTA parents doing it. But when people in our community would like to hear about partner events, and I think we would be a more exciting place to be if you went, oh, Thursday night, there's nothing going on. Oh, no, there's a concert going on or whatever. And so I think there's opportunities for us to partner with other people. It gets difficult to do that. It's not easy, but I think that there's opportunities for us to partner with the right kinds of folks about sharing information. Maybe our stuff goes to the school district, but more likely their events come to us to put out to the community. So people will come to our website and go, oh, what's going on this week? That calendar actually is useful, other than to say there's a council meeting on Tuesday and nothing else. Our calendar's kind of sparse.
So I like that. Just to check in on that, the schools probably have their own media and the like too, but I guess it's, if you don't have a kid in the school system,
then you don't hear.
Is that what you're trying
that's
to cover?
That's the trick. Okay. Yeah. You think one in ten people has a kid in the school district, and those other nine people don't necessarily hear about that.
It is pretty amazing how fast after your kids leave the school system that you sort of lose
out.
Yeah. I'll forward you one of the texts or emails or phone calls I get about every event in the school.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
But you know, I think we're talking about the marketing department. Opportunity for the marketing department is to develop a media outsource, where you send something out to this laundry list of people.
Yeah.
Schools would be on it, town center would be on it, YMCA would be on it, all these different organizations. Hey, we're publishing our newsletter, we're putting it on our website, is there any information you want us to...
Yeah, at least if there's...
It's an outreach.
A community calendar.
Yeah, you reach...
Maybe we don't push it out there, maybe the community calendar is a collection point.
Yeah, you push it out and that reminds them to send it to you. Oh, crap, we should let them know about our play or our whatever. That's a good idea.
Would... working on tourism, follow under marketing opportunities?
Yeah,
sure. Enhanced tourism efforts.
We talked about that earlier, you're
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
tourism.
Even beyond tourism, I would like to see the city promoted. Like you said, oh, we didn't know it was here. But also, I think promotion and communications are important to economic success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just that we're here, but we're a great place to be.
Yeah.
So we want to reach others, reach outside the city to invite people to come.
Yeah.
The email can do a lot of that too. That email
exactly.
list can include all these outside sources too.
Anybody can be
telling them what's going on here.
But Grant, I think you found it. You probably looked at it more recently. You talked about economic development being, I think there was a page on our website, but I would say that is kind of sparse. We could do a better job of that. It's got some about the demographics, but if it was really an economic development piece, it'd be two pages that says, here's median income and here's all the kinds of things that an economic development guy would say about why you want to put your business here. Like there's information like that could be up there too, more ED information.
I have an opportunity, and when I tell it to you, I'm sure a lot of people here are going to say, we do not have the staff for that, but we may not be able to get it done now, we can get it done in the future when we do have staff. But our events, I think our events are one of our greatest strengths. Enhances our community. More events, different events, I don't know, events,
mm-hmm.
is a great opportunity for us. And we found that they do work very well. The public loves them.
Mm-hmm.
So more regular. Can we bring in other partners? What could we be doing differently? Maybe getting somebody else to put on an event like the partnership at the Kiwanis. We do all the work. So the staff doesn't have to do it because they got enough on their plate. And we love it. We'd love to do it. We get the promotion in Mill Creek. other partners, Lions, Rotary, you know, other organizations, could we be getting people to do the work for us since we don't have the staff for it, but they want to, you know, should be a City of Mill Creek event. Yeah, but that, it helps everyone.
Trying to figure out how to capture that.
I just did, you could just say events dash more, question mark, okay, dash yeah. different timing, yeah. question mark.
And John and I, when we did this ourselves, or just did a swap for ourselves, it's an opportunity in with promotion to promote the entire city, not just the town center.
Yes.
Yes. Many of our businesses say, hey, you guys only care about them.
Promote
you don't
more
care
than
about
town
them.
Center.
Yes.
Only.
Didn't we just run down and go through the list of events that we have in the city and remove the things that we saw maybe weren't?
We didn't remove anything. City
well,
manager
I, we did actually. They did remove one of the Easter events.
Oh, that was last
one.
Year, and that was the teen Easter egg thing.
Right.
Oh, the Easter egg hunt at night.
What I'm saying is
nobody came
that
through, yeah,
we all looked at it already
well, the,
and agreed that,
the one?
Those events
yeah.
are what
yeah.
we want going forward.
You can't get rid of the other Easter egg hunt. That thing's spectacular.
Yeah, Michael.
Those little munchkins are like maggots crawling all over the. I'm sorry.
You scare him.
It's adorable. Oh, it's so fun. It's
I'm
a great event.
Terrible. I've been told.
They're
terrific.
So
there's, now you can put down those maggots
so
at Heatherwood Middle School.
Right. No. They're adorable men.
Are we done with opportunities or are we ready to go to threats?
Yep. Threats. No existing crisis communication plan that I know of. No existing crisis communication plan. The city should have one. That's critical.
I would add that I reached out to the emergency management regarding a crisis communication template for coronavirus. And basically, I believe that the Department of Health would be expected to manage that.
Yeah.
So.
But it might be our contribution to a regional plan as
yeah.
opposed to city. But I mean, it's something our citizens need, but it might be we participate.
It's really going to help us to keep the wrong information going out. That's what happens in a crisis.
Yeah.
People get excited.
Yeah.
Someone shot somebody, someone killed somebody, somebody died, somebody committed suicide.
Some of our better tabletop exercises would have us capturing that crisis communication.
We could, but we never did.
We didn't do it.
On the subject of communication, I want to say that internally, as part of a compliance effort we're making, we've already done active shooter training for all of our staff. And we're going to be proposing, I haven't talked to you yet, Mayor, about active shooter training for City Council as well. There are some
in case
sad
we shoot
stories.
Each other?
No. Sad stories out there of folks,
yeah,
showing,
folks showing up at a council
forums.
Meeting and blowing away the City Council.
So there's things that we can
but
do.
We
want to
report it correctly.
I
shoot
that.
I think that would be great.
Yeah
under the subset of the crisis communication plan is for us to have awareness. What we would do in our own facilities in an emergency, and I believe it would be dilatory on our part if we didn't include council in that training opportunity.
My plan is to hug Vince and get down on the ground.
I think that would be awesome.
Don't be hugging the guy with
the
gun.
Sometimes I'm looking out and watching out through the glass and seeing if anybody is coming.
Sorry, you're good too.
And I actually sit and
I'm standing
and
behind
that and pay attention to what's going on out there that nobody's. So
yeah, Grant.
I'm sorry, Stephanie.
Excellent.
I think people were talking over you.
I know. I'm talking serious stuff, and they all just disengage. No, I was saying to Michael, I think that would be an excellent idea because I actually, maybe I'm overly sensitive to these things, but I actually do sit up there during the meetings and watch out through the windows that nobody is coming in and paying attention to what's going on out there, that nobody's doing anything. So I think that would actually be
so
helpful for us.
Yeah.
To have.
Agreed.
So, but you know, you're all the way down to the other end of the dais for me, you know.
That's why Mark's got his spot.
But I watch them too.
It's so a reality of the time we're in.
With the exception of new staff and police personnel, we've covered all of the administration in three sessions. So I'm...
It's really a very good thing to do. I admire you for doing that.
Well, yeah. it's for all of us.
We just need to put up the
gun-free
zone signs, then we're all safe.
Yeah, exactly.
How many people are back when they come back?
So I just supporting your figure, John, of no existing crisis communication plan. Is that what is our action plan? Crisis, depending on the
it's really who do we talk to? Who do we refer people to? Excuse me.
What are the other threats that you're facing?
So I'll throw up a weird one. Is that I think the rumor mill is a threat. We've suffered from the rumor mill in the last couple of years. And so
the threat of the rumor mill.
And rumor mill can be neighbor to neighbor or social media or newspapers, but all those things.
Disinformation.
Yeah.
I guess that's different.
Yeah.
Disinformation may be a separate issue.
Rumor mill is not assigning any malice or ill will.
Right, right.
It's just simply a void of information sometimes creates bad.
Do you know what stops?
Put it there.
Do you perceive that as a threat?
Yes.
It's disinformation.
Definitely.
Rumor mill can be good or bad, but that put both of them up there. That's good.
Yeah, I look at rumor mill as not necessarily malicious. It's just people that get the facts wrong, and then there's like a malicious.
That's what disinformation.
Yeah, attacking, falsely lying, whatever.
Is
that's also a piece of it.
Sure.
And the inability to reach, as we talked about earlier, information is so is set out now to in so much smaller bites and smaller groups at a time. Do you feel right now that you are just missing people? I mean, you're just not reaching people that you need, people that may need city services that aren't being communicated with.
Not really.
Yeah. You know, on this rumor mill one, and this is a good one, a lot of where that comes from, too, one area that is not getting the official information out fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a city council meeting, and there's some decisions being made or talked about at that city council meeting, and there's no release from us about the council meeting or decisions that were made, then people on the Facebook start talking about, well, I heard this happen, you know, Mike Todd did this, and then Stephanie Vignale did that, and you know, it's like it gets to the point where my wife will read some stuff back to me, and I go, that did not happen, no way. And so the rumor mill is always due to lack of information. So the more you overemphasize your official message, it preempts it, and it really makes it hard to have a rumor mill when you say, I heard that someone said to this to me. Well, I actually got a release that just came out, and they said this is what happened in the city.
Sometimes we're stuck, like executive session, there may just be some delays, certain things have to work themselves out before information can be released, but for things that aren't subject to that type of an exception, you're right, getting in front, just getting it out there undermines, so it alleviates a lot of the speculation and bad info.
In addition to a threat of not having a crisis communication plan, we don't have a marketing communication plan or a promotion or media, whatever you want to say. But we need a, not only for crisis communication, but we need a plan. Well, it says what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. So that I think we already put that in the weakness. That's an internal thing? Or is that, you're talking about an external?
Both. I think it's a threat also. But if you want to just leave it under weakness, but
people want to know the plans for the city. They keep looking for that. What's going on? What events? You're right. The more information we could put out there.
Plus, I think it gives more direction. Like for today, for us to talk about all this is basically Michael can take it, and he's got to design what this department is going to do. What does he need? What type of staff? What do we prioritize? Clearly, we prioritize communication and events. That's a certain kind of.
Right.
You know, and I would think if we were going to have some big marketing plan, some formal thing, like back in the day when we had the town center, we marketed it. I would think for that, I know we probably could do it in-house, but we could consider having somebody that really knows this stuff do it outside. We don't need to be
like having Heidi do it. That's her job.
Or
Or a helper.
But you've seen what consultants do or publish. I mean, if we don't have it in house, I think we want to look professional.
Oh, I see. You know,
on the disinformation, some of it is us not getting information out. But the flip side of that is making sure the public is better educated on when to reach out to the city. I think back, I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, there was some reported dog poisonings at Willis Tucker Park.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks after that, suddenly there's this blow up on Facebook with all the white powder that's being placed in bright
on the sidewalk.
And rather than calling the police department or calling the city, there was just this mass outcry on Facebook when it turned out it was a bunch of guys putting down lime for a
cross country race or something.
Jeez. But there's
it was
a whole
big deal.
Oh my God, they're poisoning dogs in Cooper Park in Brighton.
Yeah, it was in all the mom groups.
No one apparently, they all had the time to get on Facebook and post about it, but no one had the wherewithal to call the police department or call City Hall and say,
that's not fun.
Hey, something's going on here, you want to look into it.
That's so true. I have a potential threat. I don't have facts of this, but I have a fear of decreasing tourism due to poor communications. We've really had to cut back a lot on that. That was a real objective for us, a primary focus for us.
Lost economic opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Good. Yes. That works. Well said.
All
right. You kind of mentioned it. Is it worth putting it up there just so we're aware of something that we're stuck with? Is the constraints we have about executive session material or potential litigation kinds of things, or that people are frustrated that there are certain things we can't say, and therefore in the absence of information they create these other rumors. I think that is just something we should recognize, is the fact that we have a muzzle on us on certain things. They go like, well, Mike, you guys had a meeting last night, what happened? You know, and I can't say. That is a reality of city life.
Yeah.
Reality of being in city government.
But recognizing that is an obstacle out there maybe helps us solve some other things that we're talking about. Is how we get, when we can tell, here's the real story, it helps. But I'm wondering if for codification, can we put this on the threat list? Is that the executive session material or whatever makes it difficult sometimes for us? We look like we are non-transparent, and it's because we're stuck. Mark, can you make that better?
No, I agree. I think it just goes to having an explanation. The city council in executive session, it's subject to litigation. Sadly, we're not allowed to comment at this time. When it is appropriate, we will.
But staff can put that out. We shouldn't have to say that.
Right.
It should be because then
I get stuck in the grocery store trying to say that just as well as you did.
Well, I tell people all the time. I will tell you when I can. I can't tell you yet right now.
Yeah.
There's legal ramifications, and I got to act in the best interest of the city.
Yeah.
And follow the law. So I'm actually legally not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
Michael, go ahead, John.
I just to piggyback on that, the crisis communication plan would include something like that. That's a concern. What do we say? And what's really strong is if every 7 council members know what to say and say the same thing, in the same, not in different words, but the same thing.
Yeah, so the way you address that threat is by having the city put out
a
statement that the city statement said such and such. If we all quote that, we're better off than me saying something a little bit different and Pam saying something a little bit different.
Crisis communication plan will tell you what to say.
I just say you have to call the city manager.
Well, and let's decide if that is the statement we want all of us to say. Because some of us say, call the city manager. Some of us say, I can't talk about that. It has to do with employee issues, and we don't talk about that in public. Or it's something that I'm just not allowed to talk about. The hardest thing to say is, I can't tell you. Because then it looks like you're hiding something. And then that's not fair to us. But there are, we could give everyone a phrase, a comfortable phrase for which to say. In the case of executive session, what do you say? Give me the words. In the case of, we have a huge lawsuit announced in the media and the Herald from such and such an employee. Here's your crisis communication plan. Kicks in and gives every council member, here's your statement. Here's your statement.
It's so case specific, though. I mean, everybody has their own flavor of saying no comment.
That's the trick.
You know what I mean? So
you don't want that. And I know that. I agree with what you're saying. But in a crisis communication, you don't want everybody to have a different flavor. You wanted to say, this is what you need to say. Some people will hate that because
I just assume
that doesn't sound like me. That's not the way I talk.
That he'll tell them the right thing.
Everybody's talking to one.
Mark?
Well, we've spent more time talking about this issue than I've spent answering that question in the last 16 years. My business card has my phone number. I'm very public. I'm very well known. I will answer my phone. And I rarely get people saying what's going on. I get it occasionally. This is not a crisis. This is it's good to be prepared thing, I think, more than anything else. This is, people are not blowing even, come on now, who's getting blown up here over anything?
So you've been doing this for 16 years. After the first couple of years, you probably got more questions. People figured out that Mark won't budge. Same thing. I get very few of these. I think the younger you are in council, the more people get. You're getting tons.
I get them every day.
Yeah, because they haven't figured.
And I'm involved in so many associations and organizations.
They're still trying to figure out if you will answer the question. They know that Mark won't say anything. I won't say anything. I guess.
Come on.
Yeah.
So they don't try us. I don't get those questions anymore because people go like, Todd will say it's a subject of potential litigation. I can't talk about that.
Or they'll even lead with it. I know you can't say anything, but I heard this. I'll just listen. And then I go, when I can talk, I'll talk.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not that I don't get, I am not getting every day, so you're much more connected than I am.
It is one of those things when you raise that right hand and take that off, this is one of the things you just got to do.
Yeah.
And, agreed. It's not satisfying to you because you want to provide complete answers to your constituents.
Yeah.
But that's just, you have obligations to the city. There are legally binding obligations, and they're more important to the community because when it involves litigation, a lot of things are at stake, and the reputation of the city, yourself, other people are at stake, and it's not easy, and it's not satisfying, but it's just kind of comes with the territory. And I think what you suggested, though, John, is certainly very possible to provide, a sentence or two that would provide that guidance that you can, and then you all need to, just say, on matters involving litigation, does that go to the city manager? The city manager then speaks on behalf of the council for those things. Just so that you have a process, and I think that's kind of what you're talking about as part of your crisis communication plan. Who speaks? When do they speak? When does the mayor speak? When does the city manager speak? When do the council members speak individually? That's a good thing to give.
We have an expectation of professionalism from one another. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, and I haven't seen anybody, I think I just said this too recently, that I don't see everybody running off to the paper bashing one another. So I don't think it's, to Mark's point, I don't think it's crisis material. I think we're okay here when it comes to knowing what to do, what not to do. We all have a conscience and respect the process enough to just sometimes say this.
You know what else is interesting in a crisis plan? You know who the last person is you want to have talk in a company in a crisis? The CEO. You don't want them talking to the media. You don't want the president talking to the media. Because there's always one person above you. What you want in a crisis plan is you have somebody who is an expert at knowing what to say and how to talk to the media. Because trust me, the media is an expert and they know how to ask you questions to get information. But you always want to have that one more person up there. Now, right now, that's our guy. We send him to the city manager. One, I think that because we don't have somebody like that on our staff. We don't have a marketing communications manager, director, expertise to send them to. But ideally, that's what you'd want to do. Is you have a mouthpiece for the company.
Yeah, if we're talking about, and I say relatively benign topics, I mean everything other than what exposes us in a risk management paradigm,
litigation
related.
Exactly, litigation.
It is a very short sentence, and I've already sent it out by email, so they're going to quote me basically saying it's a personnel matter and we're not commenting on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it with the reporter. I mean, the bottom line, though, is that for me to be quoted on that is consistent with what is the legal direction. We had the Beacon make a public records request relating to a personnel matter. I gave the first answer and then sent a supplemental response that said, and we recognize that you filed public record request numbers. There was two sets of requests that they made, and we'll get it to you in the appropriate time. Again, I appreciate what you're saying about a CEO and how they might be speaking about something that could create a liability situation. But in this one, I sincerely wouldn't delegate it to anyone. Let's assume we are fully staffed in communications and marketing. It's going to be a very, very straightforward answer that frankly was scripted by our employment council.
Most companies don't have a president who has a very strong legal background like yourself. It's probably better versed than anyone to speak to the media about anything that could offer any kind of litigious exposure. So that was not focused at you. But if you do have a separation between your top person and a spokesperson, then there is always that ability that if there is something that goes awry, you have one more step to go. Now the CEO is going to speak. And you've seen that with other airline issues and things like that where the CEO doesn't speak.
Worked so well for Boeing.
Yeah, well, they screwed it up and screwed it up again and screwed up again. So they had to pull the CEO in, and when the CEO couldn't save it because they screwed up again, they had to get rid of the CEO and get a new one. That's a crisis.
I personally would prefer the city manager to be handling that messaging rather than someone
that is
else. No, that's what I'm saying. I would prefer for him to be handling that messaging than have a communications person handling that messaging because he knows all the information that and what he can and cannot do far more than someone that we've hired for communications. Mm-hmm.
But do you understand why a communication plan would make that separation suggestion? Do you understand that?
I still believe that the city manager should be the one giving out the giving
our city
out
manager
that message.
Has great experience. What you don't have is the chance to come back and have a higher up person. If you have a crisis and you say something to the media and things go, they blow up, okay? Then you have one more level up to come in and speak to the media. That's just a typical crisis plan. I don't know if it's going to work in our city. Right now, Michael's the only one we can talk to. Michael's the only one we're going to talk to. But down the road, it would make it better for Michael and the city if you had a separation, a two-step from whoever your person is until we ever get to that person.
For non-legal or...
Yeah, it's just kind of like, this is the person who speaks for our company. And then let's just say we made a statement and that was to protect us and it blew up in our face. Then we bring in the next higher level up, which would be our CEO or in this case our city manager. That's why most crisis plans have that two-step. That's why. In this case, this guy's brilliant and much better versed, and I feel safer words coming out of his mouth than anyone. So that's not the issue. I'm just trying to give you an example of crisis.
So should we talk about maybe next steps?
No, just a second. So, Michael, do you have enough information from this? Because obviously you've got to do something. You're having 4,000 kids come in April. Do you have enough information from us?
I'm already crafting an interim plan so that we maintain continuity of communications and looking at possibly drawing on non-traditional staff to help us put together the ACON, which is the one that's the highest, uppermost as a special event that's got to go right.
So, and are you planning on canceling any other events?
No.
Okay. So we got the list of events. It's in your email. So. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if we're done with this.
Do we want to talk about our recommended? You and I had talked about recommended next steps based on this. Did you want to talk about this?
Well, that's what he's going to do now. Yeah. Next
oh,
steps.
Oh, for the marketing plan. Okay. Sorry, I think you meant.
But he's going to do next steps for this is
for the marketing plan.
The whole,
okay, I thought we were
for the whole thing.
Well, we can do it separately if you want.
I wasn't sure because we talked about with the properties we had some dialogue about our next steps. This one we have virtually no staff except for a couple of event people. What would be the recommendations moving forward or thoughts moving forward in a situation like this? What would you do? You and I discussed that. I don't know if you want to bring it up here or not. No?
You're welcome to. I just right now where we're at is that he has enough information based on, and this is basically what you and I talked about,
mm-hmm.
he needs to come back to the council with a plan.
With a plan, okay.
Yeah. Not a full marketing plan, but at least a rudimentary.
I'm open to this follow-up dialogue with you and I for the coffee.
Oh, great. No problem. Perfect.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right. So this is sort of the next steps conversations you had today, and we talked about a number of things. And it's always good to kind of get a handle on where you want to go from here. Clearly, on let me just write this down. With respect to the economic development, particularly involving the Dobson Reservoir property, you've got some very clear, I think you've got a path forward here that you talked about. And that is staff coming to bringing together sort of the initial analysis of the development opportunities and the kind of site boards that Brian was talking about, what are the constraints, how much space do you have, what might be parking requirements, things like that. Then you talked about inviting potential
partners to present to council to talk about, you know, possible partnership opportunities on the property, whether it's the Boys and Girls Club. Maybe getting somebody that can talk about performing arts facilities and what it would take to, what does it take to deliver one in the city, how that's happened in other cities as a way of looking at whether that's a viable option to pursue for Mill Creek. Talked about, you know, a kind of a sports, if there's interest in advancing sports fields based upon the analysis of whether or not you want more fields and need more fields. What that would take, how many fields could be put on the site, what it would cost, and when you can hide, how, since that would be a city focused expense, how you might pay for it. And then maybe Mike had one about private commercial development and sports facilities. There are such things out there. You mentioned Canyon Park. So there's something you could get to come to council and talk about what their experience was and how that, what that might look like. Then you want to do, based upon what you heard there, do some additional work on the criteria and considerations for use of the property. We've got a list that you've developed today, but I think the discussion was to revisit that and expand it. Consider some further data development. Once you look at these options, you might be doing a little bit of, you know, narrowing them down, and then as you drill down, maybe you want to get a consultant involved to analyze that, and whether it might work at, in some sort of more formal partnership or a PDO, or whether you've got a partner you can select, or whether you think this is going to be a city initiative and a city only initiative. And then from that, you can investigate where you want those selected options and start taking them along. I think that's a pretty good path forward on that one. Let's see. We didn't do that exercise on the SWOT takeaways for
economic development.
For economic development. Some of that plays right into, so the question is, what are the next steps there in terms of how you want to take a look at that holistically with the city? Because you want to not only take a, which critically you want to talk about, not only about the town center opportunities, but you also want to look at other areas of the city. Let me pull that this back up to remind everyone where we were. And think about when you have the staffing question, which is, do you want to have someone who's on staff, whom economic development is a core function of their job description? So I guess on a next step basis, that's a question that you might want to give some consideration to, or provide some direction. And also think about whether there are, as you begin to do some work on your development plans, there were some sub-area plans, right? Economic development elements to that you might want to include as you're doing that. For instance, your task force that you've got going right now, is economic development being considered in any of those pieces?
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you.
You know why? I'm losing my voice. Let me do this.
I can use the microphone.
Yeah, there you
okay.
go.
All right, sorry. It's been a long day, and I think I'm going to go through puberty again all the road. So what I was saying was, from here, what are the pieces that you want to take to the next step?
Well, I think we have to have a plan. I mean, I'm not big on bureaucracy, but we don't really have a plan, do we, Brian? I don't know of one that we have.
That would say,
oh. Well, I think we also need to talk about an order of priorities, because we made a big to-do list today for Michael and staff, and I think we need to have a discussion of what an order of priorities are, so we can have some focus.
And your suggestion is?
My suggestion would be focusing on Dobson Remillard. We're waiting too long to focus on that.
kind of informally put it on the upcoming agendas to potentially have people show up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, steam ahead, let's go.
I agree. I think that's fine, but we are so lacking in communication with people, and we're not going to go anywhere with Dobson Remlard. I really think, well, he's going to do it all. He has to establish a communications department somehow. And we have to start. This isn't, getting the word out isn't that difficult. So, yeah, and we will take.
Well, to me on the communications, and that's the item on the to-do list, is get the staff in order before we start getting any of the substance. Don't spend any time on the substance until the staff is there.
See, they all sort of work together.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty to me of it.
If I can make a couple suggestions, I would it make sense to have Michael share the economic development SWAT with his team and get their input from the employees, which ones they really could maybe add some to or see what kind of gravitates. But we need to put together a plan for the city, a 5-year plan based on the big SWAT that we did at the beginning. But really what you need that for is when you start doing your budgeting for, you know, next year, back in August or so. So by then, we need to have a clear idea of what elements we all agree we want you to budget for and implement going forward over the next 2 years, 4 years. But short term, besides Dobson Remlard, we also need a marketing plan. And what you're going to do, what you're going to hire, who you're going to hire, what kind of qualifications, what do you need? We need that, you know, to get out and start recruiting. So I would say that's also an immediate one. I would say the marketing one is probably more immediate even than Dobson Remlard, to be honest with you, because you... You don't have. Yeah, you need a staff. You need some expertise.
Well,
that's the most important right now.
We can actually do both of these because
if you can,
there are elements of Dobson Remlard that I can delegate, and I'm feeling the energy in the room. And frankly, I don't want to lose the momentum of this day with that unit of work. The other is something that is a focus that Grace and I have already tackled in terms of. Recruitment possibilities, interim planning, and then building out you know, the work that we did today. So,
what if
I don't have to choose one or the other? I think that I've already got a plan in my head where we can roll on both of these.
Nice.
Would it help if maybe two or three of us said we'd like to make ourselves available to help you on that marketing plan?
That'd be great. Appreciate it.
So that you get some input from the council, more than just one of us. I'd like to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, maybe a couple other people if they're interested. That we could sit down together with you and Grace and let's start pounding out a plan based on what we know about the city and its staffing and the types of people that are out there.
Yeah, it's appreciated. At the end of the day, I'll parse my words here. I want to ensure that the communications and marketing department are serving the council and not themselves.
Yeah.
That if they're out there representing or speaking on behalf of the city at HOA meetings, that they're not picking and choosing what they're going to act upon. Or if they are on their own mode, folks on their team are politicking with the HOAs, they're not doing your work, and it's not what you paid for. I want to make certain that we're serving this council and that there's a metric for us to measure if it's happening or is it going off the rails or is there an old pattern that's like a sphinx that's going to rise from the ashes. I don't want us to get into that pattern again. And so, whatever we do develop, I want us to be, I think a good job in communication marketing department is for people to be invisible, but the message is what's paramount. And the goals and priorities of this council is what we're communicating. Not look at me.
You know, for 2020, I'd say that's a doable thing.
Yeah.
We can clearly set the objectives and the expectations and a timeline.
Crawl.
Crawl. We're just going to crawl. Crawl, walk, run.
Actually, John and I agreed. This year is survival.
Yeah, it's crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, we're going to make sure we hold our events, keep our events, keep what we've got, what's working,
yeah.
and get the messaging out. Get the messaging up and running.
And our goal is to, with regard to what I think is actionable, is the council meeting, what are we reporting out? It's not a surprise. There's an agenda summary before the meeting. And other than maybe something that happens at the meeting that may... Some of these press releases can be written based on the agenda summaries, and there might be input in council that puts us in a new direction, but you should already have it left out. It's not a surprise what's coming on the agenda.
You know, one thing I forgot to mention in the marketing, too, it's critical, is I didn't realize the marketing department wrote all of the grant applications, from what I was told, for the other departments. So we're kind of stopped down on grant applications right now. Unless
we write them all?
Write them all?
Would you say who writes them all?
Who writes them all? I was under the... I didn't know
all the department heads write them.
Well, I thought so, but I was told no. But this was by Meredith, who said that she write. I said, who writes it for Gina? She goes, I do that. Because I'd asked her to go ask Gina, how does she write her grants? Who does what there? And she said, we write her grants. Yeah. Marketing.
I'm guessing Gina may say, hey, Meredith, here's the grant, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
I want this penciled out by
such and such a day,
have it on my desk. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's his wheelhouse. Yeah. I'm not in there.
You know, I'll be interested to hear what Meredith has to say, but most of Gina's grants are very technical.
Right.
And I wouldn't think Meredith would write them. No. She can't.
There might be some confusion here. We just did the one that's on the agenda for the A and B board initiative for getting the welded components for the site. $2,000.
Right.
We'll discuss it on Tuesday.
Fantastic.
But, one of the things that Meredith was mentioning was that the A and B board is increasingly taken on the role of assigning work to the communications and marketing department, that her team thought was work the A&B board was supposed to be doing, and not something that was being offloaded to the communications and marketing department. So that might be something you and I want to talk about, but particularly in this rebuilding phase, surviving treading water phase, I want to get a sense of the flow and at least some input from you, with maybe the Parks and Recreation Board as a basis for comparison, or the Planning Board, if it's analogous, as to what is or isn't appropriately delegable to administration versus the work of the board.
Yeah, more importantly, I want to know what you don't want the A&B board doing. We don't want them out there making some decisions on what we're going to do going forward. I would like our communications and marketing team involved with them before we go out and implement anything.
Yeah.
And they were, because of the lack of people in marketing, they were asking if the A&B board would do it. And I said, I don't think our community service board should be out there creating stuff or doing stuff that, you know, negotiating contracts and that type of thing. Yeah. So I said, that really falls back on the marketing department. Now, if we don't have the staff, then we just don't we'll get it done.
Yeah.
But I don't think we want our committee members.
No, I mean, citizens grant applications.
Yeah.
We need more info, and I'm hoping to capture it as part of the
I think
narrative.
She was taken away by how much is being dumped on her. Everybody was dumping on her.
Well, for a while, the complaint was that there's not much going on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I remember hearing that,
too. It's a slow-moving
and once you get it all, yeah, that's too much.
But my point to you is that we have, I believe Councilman Bond said it with regard to the police department, and there's going to be a renewed focus on the police. I put a first-time hyper-focus on communication and marketing, and I don't think that what we're asking of the team is extraordinary. And yeah, I do measure by the pacing of the over-functioners in the building, but we weren't asking for something that I thought was exorbitant. We were asking for things to get done, though. I don't necessarily have to come to a council meeting. I don't have to pay the overtime. Just capture the agenda summary. There might be a quote, or there might be something that happened by way of photos, but there's a way for us to pre-write the releases and a number of other things. I think the pacing certainly picked up, but I don't think it was unachievable.
And in fairness, to kind of, you know, say this here, kind of cut back to communications, Meredith, whatever her name is, should be addressing her workload concerns to Michael, honestly.
And she did. That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was in the A&B committee meeting. And typically, this is all the stuff that marketing was doing for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But because we lost, Joni was the original person, then it was Gordon, and now it's Meredith. And so we've been kind of moving stuff off, you know, reintroducing these new marketing people at every meeting. And in the last meeting, Meredith was saying, well, who does all this? And so typically it's the marketing department, those particular objectives that were functionality that we don't want citizens doing on the committee.
So
it got confusing to her. It's like, I had no idea I had to do this too.
So I look forward to developing that conversation. Yeah. I believe originally it was Councilman Steckler and Mayor Pruitt. I don't want to speak for the council. Is that the intention?
No, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Anyways.
Okay.
Other next steps?
I'm struggling with, you put in the second bullet there, but I think economic development to us is still a mystery topic. We don't quite understand what that keyword means to us. If you look back at our SWOT analysis on economic development, it had a lot of different things on it. You asked us what our next steps were. We struggled. And so I don't know if there's next steps that are definitive coming out of this meeting. I almost wonder if we need some more education on economic development, or we need maybe, after we've thought about this again, we look at it again and some clarity jumps out at us, or maybe Michael's got some ideas, or I don't know what. But to me, I don't know exactly what steps we take in economic development, and I'm not sure we're staffed to do them right now, but I don't want to lose this. That's what's going through my head. I don't know what the answer is, but if you said to me, go do something on this, I'm not quite sure what we're
saying. I agree
with
you.
Yet.
I agree. On the steps that you had after this slide, you said economic development / marketing plan. I'd say economic development, no action steps at this time, because I don't hear anybody giving any out.
Yeah.
But the marketing plan is a separate objective, and that is that we need a plan staffed, a plan written and staffed, brought on board.
Couldn't the Dobson Remillard property fall under possible economic development?
Well, that's a separate plan.
We've already got a plan for that. That's not economic development. Okay.
One of the things that I think we do well is not interfere with the success of our little economy. And being a public safety guy, I would love to hear from the business people and have them say, this is what we think you're doing good. These are the things that have helped us thrive. And these are things we'd like to change. One of the things that we've struggled with that I know have some of our smaller businesses would say is not something that we do well is our sign ordinance. The notion that if they can't be a lit sign, it's got to be posted and then they shine on it. The size of the sign, you've got the Sprout sign that for whatever reasons, they must have a disgruntled employee or something that gets busted about every... So as an example, if we heard from them and they came in and said the signage ordinance stinks and we would really like this and this is why we think it would help us, we might say, we had some good reasons we thought 15 years ago or 30 years ago of going in this direction. You know, I remember I used to hear a lot of, we don't want to be Linwood, whatever that means, you know, purple monkeys on the building and air inflated dancing guys. But the signage is an issue.
Yeah.
And I actually think, personally, non-business guy, I think our signage ordinance is too restrictive and doesn't allow folks to communicate their message in the way that they would like to. So I'd like to hear, as part of a business-friendly thing, what do the businesses think we're doing right? What would they like to see us change?
Yeah.
Maybe a business town hall meeting to get their input.
Yeah, it's that type of a thing. Not necessarily a ton of people. Maybe they could elect five or six, three, four people to carry the message forward. And don't overwhelm us, but give us some tangibles. Hey, this is what you're doing right. Okay, let's not mess with that. And these are the things you could do differently
that
we think would allow us to thrive.
I like that idea.
I like that idea because it's something we're doing to ask for input.
So it's listening as opposed to going and doing anything yet. But the
listening
might not cost us a lot.
We could do it at the arena sports upstairs.
Yeah, well, Vince just mentioned this, and I've been going. So why don't we take this to the chamber and have a discussion with the chamber?
That's just the town center and people outside of the community.
But I thought we're supposed to be doing the whole...
It's still just the town center.
It's not... okay.
It's
so I thought they were expanding.
Yeah,
right.
They would...
Not a bad place to do one, yeah.
More likely than not, the business, no matter which business you go to, the feedback you get would probably apply to others.
But it'd be good to get these other businesses, and they're stripped all the way around, all invited to. Every business within Mill Creek's limits. Invited to a town hall. I think it's a great idea.
Now, as we pursue some of these next steps, I'd like us to consider in April to discuss it then when we have a better idea. Mike and I had talked about updating our strategic plan, which would take in part of this. Because Brian's right, we haven't done anything strategic. I mean, we just... Anyway, that might be something we can discuss, whether or not we even want to move forward with something like that.
Okay, that's another action step.
Others? Because we did talk about the strategic plan in the first slide exercise.
Define what strategic is.
These are concrete.
I for one would like to maybe become, bless you.
Bless you.
More aware of the opportunities, like how to incentivize businesses in our existing community. What tools are available, and I'm just throwing things out, whether it's tax breaks, whether it's freezes on real estate, to maybe help lower the costs of rents in town center, or at least freeze them for a bit, or in certain areas where it might be a bit high. Those are one of the chief complaints I hear from business owners, is the rents that they pay for a lot of these businesses, and
yeah.
Some of the buses that are leaving the area are simply because, you know, they can't afford $8,000 a month or $10,000 a month. So what can we as a city do to help those folks? That's I'd like to have options and maybe have those conversations, especially on an outreach opportunity like you were discussing.
I think that's a property owner thing, though, that we can't tell the property owner what he charges.
No, I didn't say that. But we can't. The cities do have tools. They have economic zones that they can create. They have enterprises. There's a lot of things that, and we just don't know them all. So, and I know I don't.
So maybe there's an education on what we can and can't do, because what
yep.
Stephanie's been in that world, and the tools that are available to us are not much. And at some point, you got to be careful that we, government, aren't telling a property owner what he can and can't do with his property.
Right.
That's what they do in Seattle, and it gets them in the newspapers a lot. And we're not going to do that.
No,
I think we're
I
a big property
that.
Rights kind of.
But
folks.
If you're talking true econ development, then that has to be on the table. There are programs, there are steps, there are things government can do to incentivize business.
Well, so let's get education on that, because the answer is there's not much.
Right.
But, and it's not our role to tell a property owner what he can or can't put
and
into.
So I never said that, and both of you keep saying that. That's not what I said. I said I'd like to know what tools are available as a government to help incentivize businesses.
It's an informational request.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not an actual
education.
Request.
What are the tools in the toolbox?
Yeah.
What do they look like?
Okay.
You know, we talked a lot about in the SWAT annexation opportunities. So now we've looked at it in the past, it hasn't looked good, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's time to take a look at updating annexation opportunities to Mill Creek. To take a look at them today. Do they make more sense? I mean, we're in a different environment now with build out and other factors, and who knows? Maybe there are some opportunities that might make sense to us, just to see if there's anything new or a new way to look at it or any new information that might make sense. And that would be including not just going up to I-5, but going the other way off of Seattle Hill Road, because there's a lot of new development over that way, which is not going to give us the commercial tax base, but it's going to not give us the challenge that we have on the older residential base going up 164th and over. I know that's been the biggest concern. That's pretty antiquated.
I know when people would call and say, when at my day job before, they'd say, when are you going to annex us?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, when was the last time you saw a public works truck out there fixing your roads? And they go, never. And I go, that's when we're going to annex. Those roads around us haven't been maintained in decades.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what I hear. There's concerns with it. But annexation does give us some enhanced opportunities, depending on where we go, from a tax basis, as well as from, you know, maybe an opportunity. Maybe older land gives us land to be developed, redeveloped. I know.
I think we've got to have the educational process we've been talking about in the GMA. We need to have those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to deal with Thompson Railroad, and I think we need to deal with our sub-area, because those are the last...
Can you speak up for the recorder?
Those are kind of the last big pieces within our existing boundaries. And from my perspective, once we have our existing boundary dealt with, then we spend the time looking out.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Okay. And we have information, economic development studies on the proposed all the way around the city.
Annexation.
Right, yeah. For annexation. So that part of that work has been done and would just need to be updated.
You know, on the economic development, it might be good. We haven't had the guy, I forget who's the director now, the guy from Economic Alliance
Patrick
come
Pierce.
In and talk about, you know, what can they do to help us. Or, I don't know what is available or is not available. Think it'd be worthwhile to have
that,
come in and not
worthwhile? That is not a bad idea overall. There's a logistical problem there, but yeah.
Yeah, we pay them $10,000 a year.
So leverage that partnership a little bit more. Maybe lean on that partnership a little more.
You
put money into it.
Yes. Yeah, in the past, they've said, hey, if you guys want to talk about the factor halfway between the biomed and the aerospace, and you've got a plan for what you want to do, tell us, and we will help market what you got.
Well,
so, I mean,
well,
that's something the Economic Alliance
I,
can do for us.
I haven't heard that pitch in a long time, so I'm not
right.
sure everyone on the council has heard what
exactly
the Economic Alliance is and what they can and what they can't do. So
yeah.
I'm just thinking of one of those 10 or 15-minute informational presentations to us.
Yes, yeah, so I think that's a good thing to put down that we should do.
Mayor and I are going to their event this week.
That's the economic forecast. That's
right.
That's the banker and the financiers. It's a good event, but it's going to talk in general about the broader economy as it impacts the greater Puget Sound area.
Ooh, in Alaska.
What's the acronym for that organization?
Pardon?
Your
economic
Alliance, Snohomish County, EASC, means something to us.
Do you want to go together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pierre has to put Coral on the bus. He has to get her ready for school.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run.
Did we?
There's seven of them. Next steps on.
Oh, seven's a perfect number, so.
Oh, it's a lunch.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's plenty of next steps considered.
Okay.
Michael, is there anything else that you need from us today?
Your patience, partner, Dust. Construction. And I appreciate the insights that I've heard and received from all of you. I'm going to be working more on balancing my time so that I hear more from the folks that I haven't come around again to get your inputs individually. But this, for me, was I'm sitting here saying, wow, we have to do this more. And one of the ideas that I'm thinking about is for all of us to pay attention to with regard to what I could break down into units of work that are subject specific, this give and take, push and pull, it really helps establish energy and momentum. So maybe it doesn't have to be a full day retreat, but would we consider a one topic only retreat format that would just be a Saturday morning perhaps for just 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
Or another time that is convenient for the council, where we're not, you know, in our roles, sometimes parliamentary procedure, sometimes not. But the point is this give and take, all of us in the same room.
So I was daydreaming a little bit, and I stumbled into the same thought that you're landing on. And what my vision was, 9 to 2, 9 to 1.
Yeah.
Not 2 hours, a little more than that.
Okay.
And I've had lots of discussions over the years of annexation, so I know the answers. But I don't think it would be bad to, you know, down the road, we got time, have a Saturday morning and say, look, we're just going to revisit this and we're going to talk. And if nothing else, it gets the newer council members up to speed on why this is a bad thing or why the only ones that are worth considering are these and why. Because there are some.
But don't ask staff to go get new numbers on those old things. Just give us the old numbers again so we all get the same.
And
so it isn't a huge load on staff.
It would also create an opportunity for those of us that have been here for a long time to talk about what we know as to why haven't we gone to 128?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
There's a casino there. That's good. There's some other things. That's good. It's right next to the district, which is basically Heatherwood on steroids. That's bad. So we don't. If we take the one, we take the other. Or do we have to take both? You know, can we go right down there?
Heatherwood on steroids.
So
he's telling the truth.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I mean, but you haven't had the discussion, and I have, and it's not really fair for myself or Pam or Mike to just go, oh, that's dumb. You know, no, it's a good question. We asked it. I asked it many years ago. I wanted to know why are we taking this casino? The casino is bringing in tax revenues equal to a target with far less demand. But it doesn't cover for the demand of the neighboring areas that we get stuck with to get there.
Yeah, got it.
So, and also, just to throw this in there for econ, is when we figure out what we want to do in that area of Dobson Remlard, I know we touched on it a little bit, but not only operations to fund the project, but how to fund it going forward in perpetuity to maintenance and everything around it. So I did want to have a dialogue at some point about creating either a taxing district or how we go about making sure that it stays, you know, a model type area that, that something that's going to be there forever, well, for a long time, and we want to...
That should be part of the economic tools in the toolbox.
Correct. And having all those options on the table, because it's an honest discussion, and I really like when you can kind of target something and have the end users pick up the tab.
Just give me a few extra minutes.
Excuse me, Brian.
I think we should really consider what we've talked about for at least 4 years, going to 2 council meetings a month and using one for a study session to do stuff like this. I think that's far more convenient and easier to plan around than trying to do a weekend retreat.
Oh, that would be nice.
We used to do that a long time ago.
Just add the third Tuesday and just make that the night.
Yeah.
You mean this, what do you mean, add the
third? So the third Tuesday of the month that we take off.
Well, part of the reason for moving to 2 meetings was the burden on staff. So adding, I'm not sure there'd be a lot of work added to the study session, but if we added a third meeting that met every week, then we're adding a burden to the staff.
And I also schedule my overtime that third Tuesday every month.
Well, part of the problem is that, you know, we finish on a Tuesday, and on Wednesday, staff has to put together the agenda for the next meeting. Mike?
So, long time ago, you guys were there, and I was there for part of this too. It used to be action meetings were the first and third, and then we had a study session where we didn't take any action, and it was typically longer topics. And yes, that made meeting, blank, meeting that was hard for staff, but if this study session is really, it's a monthly thing that you prepare monthly for, the guy who is preparing for the annexation discussion has a whole month to get it ready, but the little ILAs and other action stuff happens to other ones. And that used to work when we got to a mode where, oh, let's just add one little thing because we forgot to get such and such done, so we added one little action item on, then we add another action item on, and then all the agendas got to be the same. But if we went back to that second Tuesday or whatever it is, that is, are we first? I can't remember now.
First, second, and fourth.
So if it was the second one, or I guess the first then would be the study one. I can't remember what it was, but anyway.
First, that would be 2 weeks between the meetings.
Between action meetings,
right,
which gives staff more time.
Right.
It isn't just from Saturday from 1 to 1. Now, staff's got to go look back. We've been in response mode for a long time, where you've had to say, if you bring us something, we say, no, I'll bring it back next week to get it done by a week from Friday. Those things will happen unless we can plan ahead. But this, if you really can dedicate almost all of that 2.5 hours from 6 to 8:30 on that other one to a study session, it isn't quite as good as getting away from the 9 to 12. I like that, or 9 to 1, but it gets closer.
I like what you just said.
That's what we did when I was on the council from 88 to 95, but then it just...
It was like that in 2005, 6, 7. It was like that.
And they just started
adding.
Well, we just got to do this. Well, we got to do this.
We changed it so that we could take action on any meeting. That's essentially why we did it.
When you were there and I was there. Right? Yeah.
That was the. Otherwise, we would have these ideas, but we couldn't take action because of the way we structured our meeting.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that at all. I would say, though, that I would like to do 3 Saturdays a year. We don't have to go crazy, but if we add 2.
Yeah. Even one quarter. Yeah.
Just to network a little, to have the sandwich, to hear each other out and
it is a different environment.
What's the vision and a little deeper sense without the pressure of the meeting going, man, I went up all day, it's almost 9 o'clock. What's going on here?
What's Ben doing?
Yeah, I think it does create a dialogue where we're able to be a little more open and
I like the Saturday month. I do like that idea.
I'm just
a Saturday quarter.
A couple extra would not be that big, but it would be 2 more than we did all year last year.
And you can handle that?
Jobs.
You can switch. It's okay.
We appreciate that. You guys are working.
Okay. So
even if for some reason I couldn't, which it's still worth it. I mean, I want to be here, and I'm pretty 90% sure I would be able to, but still. It's still, there's enough value that even if one of us, for whatever reasons, could not make that Saturday, we should still move forward.
But if we plan them out for a whole year, here's our council schedule, and we've got three retreats this year, three workshops this year.
Yeah.
But you have a, you know, you could get to the mandatory, you got to come in.
And then and then we have one meeting.
Unlikely, but his situation's more than mine.
There. And then we'll still have one meeting a month that's a study session? Is that what you want?
I think we'd go
if
back
we
to
if we serve alcohol, then, you know, boss calls us, sorry, I had a beer.
Why don't we just do it at a school time?
Can we have a study session where we sit at the table in council chambers instead of sitting up at the...
That's what we used to do.
We used to do
you
that.
You hit the table, I like being able to look at each other and be...
So uncomfortable.
Can we move our chairs down to the table then?
what it takes.
A lot of cities do.
I mean, I could carry my chair down there.
We do so much better when we're around the table.
I think so too.
Agreed.
It's just, remember the days we used to sit around the table.
When we meet, we'll talk about scheduling the one meeting a month as a study session, and then we'll look for probably another weekend workshop near the budget.
Every quarter.
Idea is that
four.
That's 4 times a year. We've done one.
No, I think the three.
Okay, what, Brian?
My personal opinion, that's really pushing.
I think so too.
You've got older kids who are out of the house. I've still got one that's in the house. That would be a group.
That's fine. Two more. That's fine.
Okay, two more.
Three.
One near budget and one near before budget, where we review what we're doing. Okay.
And then I'd say with regard to deadline sensitive stuff that comes up, I'd like the idea of being able to preserve action without it suddenly migrating that there's action at every meeting. In other words, I don't want to right now create the stress on the system that if something comes up, that Tuesday is a study session only. I want to say that we will use it sparingly and only when we absolutely need to.
Yeah.
Until we can all get into that pattern.
Okay.
We have nine minutes. I noticed on the original agenda we had some parking lot. Well, they had some parking lot. Nothing new. This time was on the parking lot, and you would like this one actually. That was the issue of the plaques, the naming of the citizens, the Mill Creek citizens honoring.
Oh, the honor wall.
The honor wall. I know that was originally as a parking lot item. I don't have much time. But I was just wondering, do we want to move ahead with some of the pre-planning on that? Is that something the council wants to do? I came back to you and told you what you're a no.
No, for the council doing that, or is that something?
No, we've got too much stuff on our plate.
No, but is that something like the A and B or one of the boards?
A and B board, we've approved, we'll put it back on to staff, which we have no staff. So the answer is no.
A and B will, you're right. A and B would design the plaque. They'll do all the research on
that. The plaque is not the issue. The issue is how we would pick this person.
Yeah, how do we pick the person?
That is really difficult.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. I'm just being honest. You asked my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm one who says I just don't want to spend time on that. We got more important things to deal with. That one is so dangerous.
And we really do. There is nobody. We just discussed all this. Let's clean up what we've got that we can do, and maybe this fall, maybe.
So maybe the best suggestion on this one is let's get our marketing staff up and staffed and caught up on everything before we look at adding anything new to their plate this year.
Yes.
So we're still in crawl stage, and we'll add it maybe next year if we'll revisit adding it next year.
Exactly.
All right. I want an action so I could report back to Chuck and A&B.
And it's not, I mean, I'm not familiar enough with the idea. If it's picking somebody, you're right, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
There's going to be a process that has to be created for it.
Right.
And it's the creation of that process. It's who you slighted in the process.
Well, you would have to put up for nomination and a set of, and vote on it and all that.
Yeah.
I would recommend a no nomination vote process because that's probably enough dilution that no one person's going to get pissed at one other person. That's typical, in a process like that. The only thing I add into that is, when is the farm slated to be done? Is it next fall?
Brian?
Next fall, right? 21?
I
don't know.
Spring of 21.
It's not going to be this year. I know that.
Spring of 21, right?
Oh, they're not going to be all
spring
done
of 21.
By then.
Spring of 21.
The only thing I would add to that is there's some great opportunities with the farm to build this wall. in their forum area that they are, have yet to construct. And, you know, great time to get the cost of it built and maybe even built into the walls down there so that the plaques could be taken off and monogrammed and then put back on. So, you know, trying to get approaching them on that process before they build their forum. I just trying to build recognition outside of town center. You know, using other parts of Mill Creek, so not everything's in town center. We're not gonna, or at City Hall, or you know, some of the places in Mill Creek, and that's part of Mill Creek.
Okay, what are we gonna do with the veterans monument? Aren't they all full now?
I don't know.
I think it can be expanded, but I don't know if the A and B board was looking at that.
No, nobody asked. Don't know anything about it. I could ask to look at it. I don't know.
Well, staff can't do it, so.
Are we going to talk at a future meeting about potentially putting a salary committee together? I know some of us have discussed that.
Yeah, we can, but again, we're just overwhelmed right now with work. And we have lots of things everybody would like to do. The key he wants is a salary commission. And
Bopple just did one, and it's a fair assessment, especially when you start asking for more Saturdays and quarterly meetings, and people that have to skip overtime opportunities and whatnot. I think it's a reasonable ask. It's not crazy. It's
so what you're asking is analysis of comparable sized cities. What are they paying?
Right.
Yeah, but here's the key, is that, and I chaired charter review in 96, and this is what you do. If you want to raise your salary, you have to vote for it, and then it doesn't take effect until after you're reelected. So what you do is you create a salary commission, you put your buddies on it, they raise your salaries, and you don't. All you have to do is, oh, we're just adopting the recommendation, and that's how the county and other cities continually raise their salaries.
Mm-hmm. And they use a market analysis of...
Yeah, they
there's,
do.
There's a template of city size, workload, etc., and it goes proportionate to the... what is it, Seattle, Bremerton, and Annex, or Index?
The CPI.
It is interesting. You know, it's good to know where how we measure up, if we're overpaid or underpaid. Then the big one is, what if we are underpaid? Are we going to ask for a salary increase?
Well, I mean, even if we got a salary increase,
we're making the same money
underpaid.
They paid the council
it's
members.
It's not
three. Or
yeah, I know. I know we're underpaid. I saw the thing.
It covers gas.
I saw the election thing. You know, Edmonds is like $1,600 a year or something like that. It's ridiculous. So
$1,600 a month.
A month. Yeah, it's ridiculous in comparison, you know, size wise and some of the other ones. Then the question is, what do we do if it is so bad? Do we ask for more money?
Well,
they make a recommendation.
We would rely on the commission to make a recommendation to the council.
Yeah, nobody's gonna like this.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, the laws are, the RCW state what they state. This is how you go about doing it. And I think it's a worthwhile conversation, especially given some of the conditions you just said here.
Fair.
This is a volunteer job with a minor stipend called $500 a month or $700 if you're the mayor. And people, we have all chosen to take this job knowing what the salary was. And that's the way that's, you know, it's been that since 1983. Maybe it should be something different, but it's like,
right.
It's a volunteer job.
Well,
and some of us choose to go to lots of meetings, some of us choose to go to very few meetings. The only difference is you can charge for your mileage to go to a meeting, but your time is a gift to the city. That's really what we're doing.
Conversely, well, actually, the laws are saying different, so that's not 100% accurate.
It's all a matter of how you want to view it. Yeah. I have sort of always taken the position that I'm just a glorified volunteer. That being said, if I wasn't serving on the council, which I would say you guys should probably get a little more. I think $500 for what I know we do. Is certainly a modest compensation. I'm not saying it should be $2,000 a month or something, but I mean the premise is $500 reasonable. I mean if we incorporated today, it would be more money than $500 a month that we're serving. And so
would it attract more people to city council?
Exactly.
To run.
And the mayor as well, with the extra duties that the person we choose to serve as mayor and mayor pro tem even, who does not get any extra but just gets the extra duties. So I don't know that it's, I've not brought it up for years, right? I mean, I've been around for a long time, and I've just tolerated it, but I don't think there would be a harm in discussing it.
Yeah, and we can schedule it, and if we're going to do this, then we need to do it before the break, so that if we need to pass an ordinance for the budget purposes, that we can get it done. So we will get this scheduled, probably like in April or May.
And I know your comments were a tad tongue-in-cheek, but I would not be in favor of putting my friends on, you know, having them vote in some big pay raise, then I can then give them a kickback or some sort of crazy corrupt silliness that is not going to happen here.
Hey, it wouldn't happen here, but I have seen it so many times.
You all have done some amazing work today.
You have too.
Yeah, great job.
Thank you.
Well done.
You really have, and you've got a lot of, you got a big agenda for this year, and you got the right guy to do it, and to work with you, and to bring it to fruition. But good day, long day, but I enjoyed the opportunity of chatting with you all day and working on this project with you. It was great.
Ken, thank you enough for
volunteering
your time.
Yes, thank you.
It's been a full Saturday.
You don't even get